I didn't see, but I heard once, there was a lady, very famous, Mother Teresa. She died last year, a few years back or something. She was a Christian missionary type. Her mission were only ladies, nuns. Mainly, for all her ladies, nuns. And they were a Christian mission, and she recruited mostly from Bengal, actually. Bengal, and they all wore saris, although she had missions all over the world, and she had nuns from all over the world. Her biggest field of recruitment was from Bengal. So, one friend of mine, he saw a film of an indoctrination ceremony, etc., etc. About 200 nuns were entering into Mother Teresa's mission. So they're all there. Mother Teresa was, the main thing was just her speech. It wasn't really an initiation. It was just an inaugural presentation and followed by some little ritual, and then they were all inside the mission. And she told them that, like, the peak thing she said in her welcoming introductory speech was, if you think there is any work to do here, then you have made a mistake. There is no work here. If you think you have come here to work, then please go back to your homes and back to your villages where you are from. Because here there is only the labor of love. That is different from work. In work you may complain, you may feel you have some right in relation to this, in relation to that. That is work. That is your workstation. That is your job description. But in the labor of love, there is no room for complaint. And then, of course, we will add to that, the closest you can understand to that in this world is the relation between a mother and an infant. The mother never complains. In the ideal relation between the mother and the infant, the mother takes so much abuses even from that child. Screaming in the middle of the night, crying, this, that, wants food, scratching, pulling at the face. But a loving mother does not complain. In the labor of love, there is no room for complaint. So, our situation, we thought, this is very noble. We must see the noble nature of their approach. And they are doing that just to do good to the poor, do good to the diseased. They are ready for such sacrifice that in the beginning, no complaint. Don't enter here if you think you have a right. You are coming here of your own free will to bear the labor of love. And that in some way, that expression is their love for God, their love for Jesus, their love for humanity. So when Krishna consciousness is positioned categorically as superior to love of humanity, to even that type of love of God, which they know, then why should we give room for this complaint? Only those who are ready to live in the ashram, free from any complaining mentality, who can embrace a life of slavery, divine slavery and service, they should come here. They should try to be here, always. And anyone who is here should cooperate with each other in that same mood. Huh? Slave of the slave. You know, there's one book written here in South India called Slaves of the Lord. Slaves of God. This is about the Alwars and maybe some other saints. And the writer of the book has understood that even higher than service is slavery. The position of slavery. You're God's slave. Srila Sridhar Maharaj took it one more step. I think it's one small section that follows. Slave of the slave. Not only are you a slave has no ground of its own, no wealth of its own, no position of its own. Its very life is the property of another, that another is Krishna. Not only you become his slave, you became the slave of his slave. Slave of the slave, actually of the slave. A slave, slave's slave. And that is the position of real happiness. Then you have nothing to worry about. When you have independence, then you begin to worry. If you're a brahmachari and live in the ashram, you don't have to worry about anything. As soon as you become a householder, get out your worry list. Rent, phone, water, insurance. When do I get to go to India? It just goes on and on. Many worries there. Why? Because householder life means some independence. And independence means you have to stand on your own. But there are two types of householder life. One is called grihastha, the other is called grihamedi. Grihastha means you'll take all those worries and bend again towards the life of full surrender as far as possible, utilizing everything and every member of the house, everything going to Krishna. All food offered to Krishna, all sound, music, all these things in relation to Krishna. Everything you will try to use in relation to Krishna. The other type of householder life is called grihamedi. Basically, that is some type of sophisticated animal life, where we live together only for satisfying each other's senses. Gratification of the senses. That is called grihamedi. That is not accepted in spiritual life. Grihamedi life is the material life, sense gratification. But the grihastha life means everything moving in the direction of service to Krishna. So, varnashram is there. Four stages of life. Brahmachari life. Worry free. No worries. Simply do service. Always. Simple life and do service. Householder life, some independence, life becomes much more complicated. Still there must be service. Then vanaprastha life. Vanaprastha life means retired life. Don't make the mistake. You mothered and you fathered, then you grandmothered and you grandfathered. That can be a mistake. You mothered and you fathered, and then you retire. You may keep an eye on the children and all that, but don't go on in that way. Simply attachment. We must come again to a plane of some detachment. Otherwise, we face one day the greatest grief and heartbreak. Forcible separation from all that is dear to us. What is that? End of life. So, we should not keep attachments in this life. Anything stronger than our attachment to Krishna. So, vanaprastha life means retiring from worries and all these things of the household life, the complications of that. And focusing more on the service of Krishna. And peace and solitude type of living. And then there is sannyas ashram that is also sometimes given in Kali Yuga, although that is not actually mandatory. But these other three are there still mandatory. There is one injunction of Shastra, no sannyas in Kali Yuga. So it's not that every single Vaishnava a male Vaishnava will accept sannyas, but the other three remain. So varnashram system, that is to move us forward on the path of self-realization. So that begins here at those shraddha. First faith, then sadhu sangha, and in sadhu sangha we will cultivate the mood of surrender. If we allow the mood to develop where there's no surrender, all independent business is going on, everything is independent, even the finances may be there, but the mood of surrender, then the new people that enter in, they will not become surrendered souls, they will just become independent workers within the mission. In some missions, brahmacharis have bank accounts. They are independent collectors, they have their sankirtan, they have their bank account, all independent. Everybody has their own apartment, everybody has their own independence, they only pay a rental fee. One godbrother who came here, he wanted to possibly build up a house here and pay some monthly fee and be nice and do what he liked. But I told him, better to be in Vrindavan actually, where you can be independent and stay there. Because here, if you are independent, independence spoils the mood of surrender. This is a mission. You're trying to cultivate something. And we cannot just keep our independence. We are all in it for the duration. Not that we're ready, we have our little thing, and then we're ready to bail. As soon as the going gets tough, we're ready to jump and let the others sink and swim. No. The real mood is we are all in it for the duration. That should be the mood of coming to the ashram. Understand what I mean? In it for the duration. Not keeping something on the side. I've collected so much money in my lifetime, along with so many other godbrothers. And we do not keep anything on the side. Oh, it may fail. And therefore, No, I'll simply fly away. I have my little nest egg on the side. No. Everything to the center for the duration. No place to go. No alternative. No second plan. No return ticket. So, in the ashram, if we're moving towards that type of mood, then we'll see that a mood of happiness prevails. If independence is the mood which is cultivated, then there's constant conflict and clash. And it's the simple, I think it's a geometry. You fix one point, and many circles can move around that one point. Some will perfectly overlap and harmonize in this way. Others will be a little less, a little more. But everything will move. But if you fix a second point and draw circles, then the circles, they begin to clash with each other. So that one point, that one center, that is Krishna. The center of all existence is Krishna. In the word, it is Krishna, Govinda. Then the ashram, he must be the absolute center. And everything moving around the center, for the pleasure of the center. Sacrifice for the pleasure of the center. Then the mood of harmony increases. It's like in a still pond, if you drop one stone, in the center, beautiful ripples, they just go out like that. Sometimes people sit by a pond and throw a stone and just watch how it just goes out. Very beautiful, concentric, symmetrically, just goes out. Throw different stones, and the ripples start bumping in each other, and all of a sudden, you cannot see clearly in the water anymore. Too many contradictory interests, then the field of vision becomes confused. Our field of vision is we are going back to home, back to God. If we have conflicting interests, then the vision is confused, and those who come here initially, they will not also be inspired by that. The Lord in the heart is not inspired. Rather, people who are self-deceivers, who want to maintain material interest in the name of spiritual life and all that type, they will be drawn to come here. See? They're also being guided by the super soul. They want a confused plane of life. Okay, come on, join there. They're all confused. They're not working for me. They are all egocentric, iscocentric, society centric. All other centers are there. You go there and you'll be happy there. This type of inspiration. You want to become the grand fool of all fools and the cheater of all cheaters, you go to that ashram, they will teach you are God. Krishna tells you, go there. You become the grand fool and the big disciple of the big cheater. So everyone is moving under Krishna. He sees our condition better than we do. We can fool our friends. We can fool ourselves. We can never fool Krishna. That's true. He is omniscient. He is all-knowing. We can even fool ourselves. We can never fool him. So, in sadhu sangha of the real sadhus and saints, then, due to their association, we will get attraction for the life of surrender and the life of pure devotion. And we will feel that sacrifice is our greatest wealth. The greatest thing we possess is our ability to sacrifice. The ability to give, the ability to serve, is the only thing here that there is to gain. Everything else is an illusion, a position. By and by, we'll have to designate positions in our mission in Bangalore. Somebody has to be in charge. There's got to be somebody in an office with a plaque on it. But at that time, the Maya will come. Boom, I am president. I am president. Then there may be a committee. Oh, I am head of the committee. All these types of things just get in the way of spiritual life. Therefore, up to this point, we don't have any. We only have one designated position. You know what that is? Finance minister. Jayadev is the only person with a title. Nobody else, I don't even have a title. Nobody has a title around here. Everybody else is living happily and all the headaches are on you in finance minister. But in time, then there has to be like directed person. When you have a small group, you can just harmoniously understand who's in charge of the kitchen, who's in charge of buying, who's in charge of the artiques, You don't have to say head pujari, you know, head cook. You don't have to designate. But when you get a lot of people, you have to designate. And there Maya rubs her hand. Institutionalization, my opportunity to enter. Designation. So maybe we'll create a system. There is a system. Saivite president. It's even Saivite acharya. Saivites, that means servant acharya, the head, the guru of the mission. He's called a Saivite acharya, Saivite president, Saivite secretary. It already developed actually in parts of Gaudiya Mutt in Bengal. Saivite president, Saivite acharya. You got simply president? Oh, big Saivite. Oh, he's only peon. Postman. So service first. But of course, even one can be proud. Oh, I am the servant. I am the servant. Pride is unrelenting. It tries to enter whenever possible. Oh, I am the humblest. Pride entering the humblest. I have no qualifications. Become very proud of that. Pride. False ego, ahankar. But again, here in sadhu sangha, if it is of the right type, those who are showing us the higher stage of devotion, that's why we have always made it a practice to bring people to Prabhupada. They should see Prabhupada, they should know Prabhupada. Then after, we try to bring people to Srila Sridharmaya, they should see the higher stage of devotion, what it is, what is the culmination. Why we took people to see Srila Prabhupada, all the devotees as far as possible. But then the time will come, Krishna will say, now it is your turn. You must show also. What you have been given, you must also show. You must come to that. It is not just an ideal. We judge a person by the ideal, but not that we have the ideal of right behavior. Let's say, we have the ideal of honesty, but we remain thief. It's not acceptable. You cannot tell the judge, I have the ideal of honesty, but actually I'm a thief. Well, that's nice to punish you as a thief. A thief with a high ideal. High ideal is there. We judge a man by his ideal, but we expect it should be followed by action, proper action. That is also, otherwise we are hypocrites. So we cannot just point to others. We have to show the ideal of Vaishnavism in ourself as far as possible. This is also. So in that type of sangha, we will make advancement, and those who join us, they will also make proper advancement. In devotion, in pure devotion. I have one friendly god brother, he always complains, why are you always telling pure devotion? Pure devotion. Because there is a difference between ordinary devotion, mixed devotion, the shadow of devotion and pure devotion. We may spend lifetimes together plodding in the shadow, plodding in the field of mixed devotion, and we will not succeed to the goal. But in one lifetime, if we embark on the path of pure devotion, then very easily in that lifetime we reach the goal of eternal existence. That is Krishna. We will reach to Krishna, back to home, back to God, by pure devotion. Not by mixed devotion, not by ego devotion, not by calculated devotion or conditional devotion. Condition, I'll do this, but this is my terms. No terms. Simply signs. No terms. No terms, no complaint office, no voice, no word. But what happens? We accept that, actually, and we have voice, we have word. The disciple, he surrenders to Guru in that mood, and the Guru turns to him and says, what do you think? What's your opinion? He doesn't say you have no opinion, you have no thinking. But first comes the level. All that you've learned, everything you know, is useless here. You start from zero. You just come and surrender. And coming in surrender, we're asked, oh, what do you know? You know typing, that's very good. You please type. Oh, you know this. You know whatever you know, you please use that here for Krishna. But if we come, oh, I know this. It's like, yeah, so do a lot of other people. They know so many things. Then people come with their money. I have money. That's very nice. Smelly paper in your hand. Please wash your hands. Not that we can come, oh, I have money, therefore I can serve. I have knowledge, anything. I have a degree, all these things. Maybe nice. We may be able to use that. That's not a necessity.
a Christian.
He doesn't need your money, he doesn't need your paper, he doesn't need anything except your love. He's very greedy, very greedy. He wants to taste the love of all his devotees. And he has the capacity to do that. He is the enjoyer. And we are the servants. Loving agents of the Supreme. Loving particles of consciousness. So nothing else is important. We get lost sometimes and give so much importance to so many things. Even Prabhupada used to say, actually it happened one day, Prabhupada closed his eyes, and then after some time, maybe long time, 5 or 10 minutes, then he said, yes, Krishna has told, you may stay there with them and continue your nonsense for some more time. This is nonsense, Prabhupada told. Krishna told, I can stay here with you sometime more and continue our nonsense. What nonsense? This nonsense was preaching, missionary work, book publishing. As in the end, the Supreme Lord is independent. All our, everything we want to do. If he wanted, he could just throw the book from the sky. If he wanted. He has that power. He could just create the books. He could just burn the newspapers and create the, anything. But he allows us to serve him. He allows us to serve. It doesn't require our service. But he allows us to serve. Then bhajan begins. After all that, then bhajan. Some people are pressing now in the world, bhajan, bhajan, bhajan. But after the life of sacrifice, after surrender, then bhajan. Otherwise, sadhana. Sadhana, regulated service, regulated kirtan, regulated chanting of the holy name and japa, sadhana. Crossing into the threshold of surrender, the life of slavery, then we can worship Krishna. Then the life of bhajan. And this life of bhajan then culminates in shravanam, kirtanam, prasad seva, honoring, prasad, hearing, chanting, respecting the Lord's remnants, and then all anarthas that trouble the heart. All unwanted things that troubled us through millions of lifetimes will vanish. Then one becomes a fixed nishta, unshakable, can never be shaken, nishta. And then one gets ruchi. Ruchi means a taste. And here it began with a real taste for the truth. When you get that taste to the level of ruchi, then you are saved. Otherwise, you are a worker towards the cause. Protect yourself left, right, front, and back with your friends against the enemy of the soul. Lust, anger, greed, these things. Kam, krodh, lobh, lust, anger, greed. These are the enemies. We must protect ourselves against these enemies. Until we acquire that state of ruchi. And when ruchi is there, those enemies can no longer attack us. They can no longer even find us. At that time, we are beyond the reaches of this material world, the state of ruchi. Then there are some progressive stages. Still, prema is not there. Still, divine love is not yet reached. Ruchi, then ashakti, spiritual attachment. Sometimes devotees say, something, then, oh, I'm not attached. Whenever you hear that, oh, I'm not attached, it's just the opposite. Everyone is attached in this world. We are all attached. We are attached to this body, attached to this mind, attached, and attached. We're all attached. When we reach to the stage of ashakti, attachment to Krishna, then we're no longer attached in this world, even to this body which we hold as dear as our life. This body is our process of life right now. Can't live without it. Anything happens to it, ooh, so much attachment. Hunger, feed me, all these things. Attached. We're all attached. Don't think that you're not attached. But becoming attached to Krishna, then no more material attachment. Material attachment is the cause of suffering. And then that attachment, that becomes bhava. Some people are telling, we're into the bhava. The bhava is after the stage of ashakti. And it seems right now in most of your minds, this is impossible. You can't get to such stage. No. We will get to such stage in this life, provided we simply follow the process. I'm doing this for 30-something years. And not without experience. We will come to the stage slowly but surely. The stage of the stage. But it always looked impossible. Still, it looked impossible the day we started. It looked impossible here 30-some years later. But yet, there is an assurance within. There's an experience, a fulfillment within. Yes, I am on the way. Srila Sridhar Maharaj told me, that is our feeling. Yes, I'm on the path. Not that I've reached the goal. We don't feel that. If you feel that, you've been derailed. He said, the feeling is, yes, I'm on the path. That is so assuring. I'm on the path. This path, impossible path to perfection, but I'm on that. I'm going in that current. That alone is fulfillment. That alone is fulfillment or soul. So this bhava comes after achieving the impossible. Clearing out the heart of all anarthas, all selfishness, all greediness, coming to the point of 100% and more, beyond 100%, doesn't even exist in this world. You can't have 200% or something. You can only have 100%. But devotion to Krishna reaches beyond 100%. That's this day, actually, Kadasi day. It's the day where devotion goes beyond 100%. You're already giving all that you got. Everything is already given. Already surrendered, and on Ekadasi day, Krishna says, I can take more. You take less and I take more. Huh? He eats the grains and you don't. You take less and he takes more on Ekadasi. He takes everything. And we take that remedy. But on this day, he says, I'll take the grains and you don't. You take less and I'll take more. That's even beyond 100%. He took everything. We even took less and he took more. You follow what I'm trying to say? After all of that, bhava. And after the culture of bhava bhakti, then prema. So who will be so fool to stand in this world and say, I am prema? Who will be so fool to say, even I am bhava bhakti? This is not an ordinary thing, not a common thing. But it will be. And there will be bhava bhaktas and there will be prema bhaktas. And the more they have of it, Srila Sridhar Maharaj says, the secret is, the more you have of it, the less you feel you have. It's just like a person who has $1 million finally realizes, actually, I'm not rich. We're thinking, oh, if $1 million is there, we are so rich. But once getting $1 million, you enter another club. Well, that's not very much money. You have to come to the billionaire category and the trillionaire. $1 million is not very much. So, and who has great knowledge? It's only a fool that is proud of his knowledge. A learned man, a learned person, never proud of his knowledge. There was one famous scientist, he said, people praise me. It was maybe a Newton. He said, people praise me as a learned man, but I'm simply standing on the shore of knowledge, like a child at the shore of the ocean. Simply we are playing on the shore of knowledge. Knowledge is such a thing. Who will claim I am a learned man? But those who actually have knowledge know that knowledge is so great, they never claim, oh, I am learned. Similarly, in a similar way, those who have love of Krishna feel within themselves, I have no love of Krishna. That is the feeling. They're not boast about their love of Krishna. If you ask, they may say, no, I have no love of Krishna. Of course, in dealing with the atheist, they may say, oh, these devotees, they have so much love of Krishna. Of course they see Krishna. Once I was with Prabhupada and some college boys asked, Swamiji, can you see Krishna? We were all just sitting. I was sitting next to Prabhupada in Hyderabad and he told, oh, you think all these boys and girls, they are fools, huh? Do you think we are fools? Simply we are coming here day and night. We don't see Krishna. Do you think we are fools? Then those boys got a little nervous. No, Swamiji, we don't think you are fools. Then? Huh? But we just want to know. Of course they have seen Krishna, otherwise why they are here? We're all thinking, it's the meaning. Of course we know. Prabhupada has seen Krishna. I'm not seeing Krishna. Whereas everyone is thinking like that. Then he told his boys, you want to see Krishna? Huh? You want to see Krishna? You. You what? You, boy, Kesha, you want to see Krishna? Yes or no? You want to see Krishna? There, have a look. Then he told his boy, you come here tomorrow morning, 4:30, Mangalarti, you'll see Krishna. No, 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 I mean. What do you mean? This is Archivigraha. It begins here. You have no eyes to see him everywhere. You have no eyes to see beyond the sunlight. What can you see? The sky is full of stars right now. You cannot see them. But when the sun goes away, then the stars, they're always there. But now you're blinded by this light. So with these eyes, what do you want to see? So Krishna, so kind, first see here in the Garbhagudi. In the temple, you see Krishna there. And you want to serve Krishna, you start there, you serve there, you serve the ashram. In this way it goes. No, 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 I want Manjari Bhav. Okay, then come and work in my garden, you know, Krishna's garden, you pluck all the manjari. So much manjari savor is here. No, 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 I mean I want to sit with my mala under a tree and dream. Yes, that is dream. That is a dreamy thing. That is not reality. You really want this higher level of service, which starts here, Arjan Vigraha. So it is called Yaga. Serving the Lord in His deity form. It begins there. Don't think He is something different. He is dancing. He is playing His flute. He is moving. Only our eyes are frozen in time. We cannot see that. Madhavendra Puri, he could see that. When food was offered to Krishna, he saw the deity eating the food. Cool. Other people were standing like this, didn't see anything. Only they saw the... No, no, that's not that. This. Only they saw him with his hand like this, lifting over the... Krishna is eating the offering, but we do not make a play of that. We cannot make a play of that. Oh, there was four rasgulla. Krishna ate one and the offering came back only with three. Don't make a game of this. It is not like that. You see him eat, he ate all four. Not Krishna, one. He eats everything. So don't make a game of it. But the fact is that seeing Krishna begins here. People used to say, oh, Swamiji, but God is everywhere. Hey, God is everywhere. Then he used to say, if God is everywhere, what is your complaint to see him in the temple? If God is everywhere, then why not here also? Huh? They want to say God is everywhere, so don't go to temple. But if God is everywhere, then he must be in the temple also, why not come here? Huh? Their argument is revealed. They are envious of the presence of God. It is everywhere, it is everywhere. No, no, it is specifically in one place. Then surrender will come. If God is everywhere, how do you surrender? If you are already surrendered, that's another thing. Krishna is everywhere. And you serve Him anywhere and everywhere. No limitation on that. In the beginning, we are limited by selfishness and greediness. Therefore, one place to offer food. One place to gather to sing for Him. Yeah, you can chant in your room. You can chant anywhere. But when you're asked to come here to chant, surrender is attached to your chanting. Generally, we don't recommend go to your room and chant japa in the morning. And it's simple. You'll just go to sleep. It's a simple rule. And when you are not going to sleep, then you can have your bhajan kutir. But mostly if you go home just to chant, you'll chant this mantra. Z mantra. You chant Z mantra. Z. Sleep mantra. You stay in others and going around. One day, one devotee, he was sitting in the temple like this, in his knee bag. Shridhar Maharaj walked by, and he looked at him. We were both chanting in the temple room, and this devotee was sitting there sleeping. So then Shridhar Maharaj stood right next to him. Hare Krishna! He shouted in his ear. He woke up and he goes, mode of passion, mode of passion! He started shouting at the Swami for being in the mode of passion, and then the Swami said, mode of passion is higher than mode of ignorance. Join us in the mode of passion, you're headed up. From there you'll get the goodness.